But if it applied to everyone defined as essential workers, we might not reasonably be able to vaccinate everyone in the first round. I think our time's up. Do you have any other parting words?
I know this past year has been difficult and we've been living through a global pandemic unlike anything we've seen for a century. Our healthcare system has had its shining moments of love and compassion, but it has also shown how fragile it truly is. We've missed weddings and funerals, and we've seen our country more politically divided than we've seen in decades. And through it all, we've seen people come together to try to help one another. Difficult, honestly, barely begins to describe it, but a working vaccine is the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll ever get back to normal, and I honestly don't know if we really want to. We know how much we've lost, but we've gained a lot. Hope we can use what we've learned in this year to go forward rather than backwards. This year, the entire country saw how important it is that everyone have access to healthcare. We also saw how much society relies on people in some of the lowest paying jobs like grocery store employees and cleaning staff. We've grown so much throughout this crisis, and hopefully we'll have the virus under control. We can take what we've learned and end up a better society than we had before.
Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors. Doc Griggs?
Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast.
Hey, Doc Griggs, any last words?
Remember, get checked, get fit, get moving, and remember to get some rest to boost your immune system. And Doc?
Protect yourself and others by staying home, and please wear masks when you go outside. Remember, health is a human right.
You're listening. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to sound like a broken record, but you are listening to KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Listen sponsored. Now become a member now. Become a member not only because everything you hear is straight, everything you hear is the late, everything here is great, but we also want you to become a member because we want you to get in there and put your shoulders next to the wall like we're doing. Help pay some of them electric bills, some of our toilet papers, our napkins, our portable plates, portable knives and forks. But better than that, even for the staff, the guys are working hard here at KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM on your dial. And this is Screaming Jay Hawkins telling you why you got to do it. You got to do it not because it's an order, not because it's mandatory, not because it's a must, but it's because this is the only place where you're hearing the right stuff. You're hearing the truth, you're hearing the good sound, and you're digging people who knows what it's all about. So pick up on a few things and lay down some of them other things and just dig KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM on your dial. And remember, I said so. I, Screaming Jay Hawkins. I ain't walking, I'm talking. I'm squawking. Become a member now. Become a member of KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM on your dial. I'm about to sign off. Bye, 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 bye. Bye.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Talk and Taste, Getting Vaccinated for the Love of Health, hosted by Preserve Coalition. On Wednesday, February 10th, from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m., streaming online. Talk and Taste is a virtual afternoon of engaging activities, cooking demonstrations, informative talks, and dance and exercise lessons hosted by LaTroy Robinson. Again, that's Talk and Taste, Getting Vaccinated for the Love of Health, hosted by Preserve Coalition. On Wednesday, February 10th, from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m., streaming online. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Holla! Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class. Here, on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am a member of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Retirees Union and the current president of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. Tonight, I'm joined by my sisters in the struggle.
Hi, I'm Dr. Audrey Terrell. I'm the vice president of the Oregon CBTU. And I'm also retired from the international staff of the UAW, and I'm also president and CEO of the Dr. Audrey Terrell Institute.
Hello, this is Deborah Hall, and I'm currently the secretary treasurer of the Oregon Coalition of Trade Unionists and also a retired member of the American Federation of Teachers.
Our guest tonight is Nanette Carter Joffrey. She's one of our own CBTU activists who's a member of the Service Employees International Union Local 503, Home Care, Sublocal 99, and also a member of the COVID-19 Vaccine Advisory Committee. Wow, that is a mouthful. So, Sister Carter Joffrey, you want to tell our listeners about yourself?
Hi. It's wonderful to have the opportunity to come before our community and let them know that I am a worker just like they are and actively involved in making a difference in our community. As a volunteer, I serve to support our Black, Indigenous, people of color, our unhoused population, and other volunteer activities that focus on friends of seasonal and service workers, and efforts being made by Transition Projects Incorporated to assist our unhoused and a number of other caucuses within Service Employees International Union, where I serve as the co-chair of the Women of Color Caucus, the Indigenous People Caucus, and our secretary for the African American Caucus. So I'm happy to come here representing workers from Service Employees International Union, which is a very diverse represented body of some 72,000 workers.
Okay, so again, welcome to the show. Can you share with our listeners why you applied to become a member of the COVID-19 Vaccine Advisory Committee? Because clearly, your community participation level wasn't that you had extra time on your hands. So why'd you do it?
Well, Tina, it's a matter of being a service to our community. Oregon Health Authority canvassed the state to solicit individuals to come forward and be representative of our diverse community. And I chose to step forward and was thankfully selected to be one of the 27 chosen to be on this COVID Vaccine Advisory Committee.
How many people applied for it?
They had some 730 applicants, and they narrowed it down to those that were finally chosen.
Wow.
So there's a lot of volunteers out there that are committed to seeing this process go forward and making sure that efforts are made to wage war on this COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay.
Wow, Sister Carter Joffrey, this is Deborah Hall. So given the volume of information provided by the Oregon Health Authority on COVID-19, what specific information would you like to share with our listeners about your committee work?
Well, the thing that's most pressing and impressive to me is the fact that these are all public hearings. The committee meetings are open to the public and are closed captioned. The real focus is to get the community involved and informed, making sure that correct information is disseminated, and it's disseminated timely. So the website is available, and we encourage the audience to go forward and take use of it and participate. Comments are welcomed and encouraged, and we want to be principally involved in making sure that our communities of color are represented in decision-making for the state of Oregon as these vaccines roll out.
Hi, Sister Jaffrey, this is Audrey. It's my understanding that the COVID-19 vaccine distribution process is divided into multiple stages. So is there a centralized place where Oregonians can review the phases and discover when they're eligible to receive the vaccine?
Yes, that information is available in a variety of ways. You can contact 211 and find out where the vaccines are being distributed in your particular area, as well as the Oregon Health Authority's website for the Vaccine Advisory Committee. Our union also has information, that Service Employees International Union, at SEIU503.org. So the information is out there, and we want the individuals to go to the correct sites to get correct information, because there's a lot of misinformation.
Yes.
That's creating hesitancy within our community to come forward and take advantage of it as the vaccine becomes available to that sequence group, because this is truly emergency use vaccine, so it's not there for the entire population of Oregon.
So who creates these phases, and who notifies us when it's our turn to take this vaccine if we are chosen?
Well, the public notification goes out through all media sources. The Centers for Disease have identified categories, and we in Oregon are working on the category sequencing as it rolls out for categories beyond 1A.
So it seems to me, this is Tina again, that folks in the Black community are a little skeptical about whether or not they should take this vaccine. Is that something that the committee is looking at?
Definitely. The hesitation and skepticism within the communities of color is very much a pressing issue, and there are community outreach groups throughout the state that are addressing those concerns, and it's also an issue that we as representatives of those diverse groups are grappling with as well. I myself, as a Black Indigenous person of color, had to make the distinction for myself, and what was most pressing for me was the understanding that this is not a live virus that is being injected into anyone, and that there is an efficacy that identifies its effectiveness that is impressive. And so being a healthcare provider, I was in category 1A, and I chose to take the vaccine. I've taken my first shot, and I'm scheduled for my second shot. And I just encourage people to understand this is another tool that we have in the fight against this COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay. It seems to me that the Oregon Health Authority has a pretty vast plan in order to deal with all of this. How are you holding on with all the information that they're giving you?
It's a lot. It is a lot of information, but it's timely. It is a collaborative effort that's going forward with community partners at all levels to make sure that Oregonians know what the real issues are that we're confronted with as this virus is spread and continues to spread. As we speak today, there are some 400,000 deceased as a result of this massive disease here in the United States. And so we are challenged with making a concerted effort to join the fight and understanding that it's not mandatory, but it's encouraged that you seek out the vaccine when you're eligible.
Sister Jaffe, as we all know, we've been watching the media, that President Biden has put this issue on the top of his concern. And if you watch the media, he's, going all out to do what's necessary. So I'm really hoping that your interaction with the federal government is much easier and things, resources are gotten that we need. So I'm sure that's part of your all interaction is with the federal government. So we've got somebody now in the White House that should be able to answer our questions and get what we need.
So personally, I am ecstatic that we have someone that's dealing and understanding that it is the science that we are looking at and not hearsay. The vaccine won't end the pandemic, but the vaccination will. It's important that everyone is vaccinated to achieve community immunity. And the COVID-19 vaccines have been evaluated extensively in large-scale clinical trials that involve more people than in a typical vaccine trial. So we want to trust the science and follow it. And we have a leader at the helm that believes in the science.
Yes.
So that's encouraging.
So did I hear you earlier say that the meetings are open?
Yes.
So
that's totally open to the public to be viewed. They're closed captioned and they're available to be watched on YouTube.
Okay. So do you have that address, and how frequently are you having your meetings?
The meetings are weekly. On Thursdays is the formal meetings between 10 and 12. They started on January 7th and will be going through to the first week in February. You can find them on the Oregon Health Authority's website for the COVID-19 vaccine. The actual website address is rather lengthy, but if you just go to OregonHealthAuthority.gov, you will be able to find the COVID-19 Vaccine Advisory Committee. Or okay. You can just put in that.
Okay, well, I'd like to remind our listeners that they're listening to the Coalition of Black Trades Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class. Here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. Our guest tonight is Sister Nanette Carter Jaffe, who is a CBTU activist and a member of the COVID-19 Vaccine Advisory Committee. So when you were selected to be a committee member, what are your personal goals during the duration of serving on this committee?
Well, quite frankly, my personal goal was to make sure we weren't just being figureheads, to actually make a contribution to how this vaccine is rolled out within our communities of color, because we know that the hardest hit groups, if we follow the science, based on the population here in the state of Oregon, we have been hit 2 to 6 times harder than other groups. And so we want to make sure that we have a seat at the table where the decisions are being made, because oftentimes we aren't.
So has the advisory committee examined the impact of COVID on the Black community? I know you said we've been hit 2 to 6 times harder, but they've done some serious research into how it's affected the Black community?
with the vaccines as they have rolled out, that was part of the research. And as you will see when you go on the Oregon Health Authority's website, you will find that they have a dashboard that shows how the vaccines are actually being distributed within our communities. They give an actual count week by week of who's receiving the vaccines and how those vaccines have been distributed thus far. So as you know, they are two shots, whether you deal with the Pfizer vaccine or the Moderna. So they are identifying right now the population that have received the first shots, and they've broken that down by ethnic and racial numbers. So that's impressive to me to see that we're on top of that and we are getting that information. In the state of Oregon, we represent some 74,000 in population. And as we all know, not everyone will choose to be vaccinated, but we want to make sure that those that do choose that are within our community and are eligible actually get the vaccine. So we want to see that, we want to follow the data.
I know you said that we can go to the OregonHealthAuthority.gov to get some information. So how can Oregonians also monitor the progress of the work that's being done locally? How can we monitor that? We can go, do we continue to go to the Oregon Health Authority, or what other areas can we go to?
You can continue to go there. The information is readily available. I am very excited that it is public and we have the opportunity to see for ourselves on the vaccine dashboard where those vaccinations are taking place by county, statewide, and by ethnic groups.
Okay.
So when you said your committee is scheduled to end in February?
Yes, as we speak now, scheduled to end the first week in February.
So what happens after that?
Well, to my knowledge, we make recommendations to our governor via the Oregon Health Authority, and the governor is the one that makes the decisions for, in conjunction with the advisors for our state, because each state makes their own decision as to how the vaccine is rolled out in conjunction with what the CDC has already identified and the federal government.
Okay.
So, in our closing, Madam President.
Yes.
In our closing, the Coalition of Black Trade Unions, we just like to remind everyone that we meet the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. Now, since the coronavirus, we have suspended face-to-face meetings and are utilizing Google Hangouts to conduct our meetings. So our next meeting will be held February the 9th, 2020, and we can be contacted at our email address as orcbtu10@gmail.com, and we would love to hear from you. So join us in our evolving adventure of representing Black union workers.
So before we sign off, I'd like to thank Sister Carter Joffrey for all, and I do mean all, of the community work that that you have been doing. You really do us proud. I just don't know where you find the time, but I'm very proud of the fact that you've been able to.
Christina, I would just like to close with one statement for our audience to hear.
Sure.
We are in a fight for our very lives, and it is up to each individual to make the difference in preventing the spread of this virus. So the vaccine is the only pharmacological procedure that we have in our tool chest to fight this virus. But even with the vaccine, you still need to be tested. You still need to wear your face mask. You need to maintain your social distancing, and you need to wash your hands. I encourage everyone, make the decision to stop the spread of COVID-19.
Sister Jeffrey, I have one last question. Is there any contact information you can give for us, for our listeners, if they have any particular questions, maybe we didn't ask, but they have some concerns? Is there a contact number or email that they can contact you with some concerns that they may have?
As always, I'm available to any that choose to contact me, and the email address is D, that's the letter D, the word volunteer at gmail.com. And as I always say, D the volunteer at gmail.com.
Thank you. So as a reminder, we have a regular meeting February the 9th on Google Hangouts. So join us then on February the 9th, 2021 at 7 p.m. At 6 p.m. Sorry.
Well,
yes,
sisters,
we had to fall back in the winter. Yes.
Okay, yes. Sister Jeffrey, again, I really want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule, taking time out of your life to help us sort out this COVID-19 stuff. Because like I said, it's like chasing a storm. And we know it's there, but with your help, it'll give us some factual information on how it affects us personally and how we can shape our lives in order to avoid the dregs of the infection. So once again, thank you very much. Well, brothers and sisters, that does it for us. Until we meet again, holla.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio. We'll be right back.
Mr. and Mrs. Radioland. I am Eldridge Cleaver, the former Minister of Information of the Black Panther Party. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is listener-sponsored, non-commercial community radio. I want you to listen to and support KBOO because Portland needs it, you need it, and the world needs it. Ubalagani, boing boing.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.